Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
What's going on with Bill?
I don't know. Ever since the podcast picked up listeners, he thinks he's a big star now. Looks like he's going to Hollywood.
Dudley, babe. Let's do lunch. Your people can call my people.
I wasn't aware that voiceover bots had people. I guess he's going Hollywood. But not like today's guests, JD and the Ghost.
I've got to meet with my agent. Have my driver bring around my Lambo.
He doesn't have an agent. He doesn't have a driver. He owns a Yugo that he's still paying off. Plus, he doesn't even know how to drive.
I may be going Hollywood, but right now, let's go to an ad break.
Attention, rebels of the Sure Pollution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet.
As a reminder, the restrooms are located near the yellow snow.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels, and welcome to another episode of Too Many Podcasts. It is me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. Of course it is. You knew that. So, this is the podcast about podcasts and so much more. And this week, on Wednesday and Friday, we will be having interviews with podcasters.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Glad you asked. Today's guests, actually two, they host a movie podcast called Goin' Hollywood, and their names are JD and the Ghost. No, it doesn't show up on the driver's license, don't worry. And I had a lot of fun getting to know these guys. I think you'll enjoy this interview too. We had a really great discussion about movies. We talk about movies a lot on this podcast, but we know that that's what everybody likes. And right now with the pandemic, sometimes it's really hard to enjoy a movie, of course, in the theater, making it a little bit trickier. But we've got this conversation to cheer you up a little bit. So check out my conversation with JD and the Ghost, the guys from Goin' Hollywood. Hello there, Rebels. We're in the movie theater at the Sherpa Chalet, and I've got two guests tonight, and they are the co-hosts of a podcast called Goin' Hollywood. And it's a lot of movie talk, and it's rated R. We have to keep that in mind. And their names are JD and the Ghost. How you doing, guys?
Oh, hello, great. Hello. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Oh,
it's
thank
always
you.
A pleasure to have you guys in the Sherpa Chalet. Why don't we get to know you guys a little bit first? JD, why don't you start?
Okay. So, my name is JD. Co-host of Goin' Hollywood. We're both best friends. I've been friends for going on, was it 20 years at this point?
Yeah, almost, yeah. Roughly,
yeah, give or take. Always bonded over movies. Always loved movies. And that's pretty much what the show is, man. Just two buddies talking about movies, having a good time. Super laid back, super chill.
It's just two guys nerding out to different movies. Just movies that we love, movies that we grew up with. So that's basically it. The dynamic is organic when it comes to our show. And that's what you get with Goin' Hollywood.
Yep.
All right, what era did you guys grow up watching movies when you really started into getting into it?
Oh, man. I was just telling him about that. 2002 is a very vital year for me. That's when I really got into movies. I was 15 years old and a movie named Signs came out. I don't know if you ever heard of that movie, Jim.
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, directed by Shyamalan, M. Night Shyamalan. That movie changed my whole perspective on art, on the art of filmmaking, to be particular. And that's how I got started in being obsessed with movies. And that's actually the time we met.
That was about when we met. Yeah.
I was 15, he was 17. He was about 2 years older than me. So, yeah, that's when we met. And I really think without that movie, there wouldn't be Going Hollywood, honestly. So I owe that movie a lot.
I got to say, it was definitely kind of always from childhood, actually. I had the type of family where my mom said at an early age, there will come a point where you have to watch The Godfather because it's required to see.
Yeah, I remember those times. My uncle was like that. So I got really into it in a young age, not like until I was 15, I got really into it. But I watched movies, but I never paid attention to movies, if that makes sense.
See, I was always way into them and, just always, always, I could always quote movies really well. And my family always kind of encouraged that too. So that was, it was just always, movies have always been a huge part of my, I guess, my personality and just who I am.
And that's the cool thing about it. We have two, me and JD as the co-host, we have two different perspectives on movies. He's the front of the camera acting, dialogue. He memorizes lines like it's nothing. I'm the guy behind the camera. I like directors, writers, producers, scouting locations, anything that involves the filmmaking aspect of the budget, any facts behind movies. That's what I do when it comes to our show, Going Hollywood. So that dynamic is what makes the show.
Are there any genres that you guys are partial to when it comes to movie going?
I would say we definitely both love the gangster genre.
Oh, yeah. Gangster crime, anything like that. I just recently got into that. And I got to thank JD for that. He got me really into those with Goodfellas. But that's not my favorite genre. I love psychological thrillers. Anything with some kind of either a twist or some kind of an arc in the story that goes a direction that you didn't expect. I guess some people would call it a twist, but I really like that. I like most movies with twists, like movies that people don't even like. I do because of the twist.
I like horror. I like anything horror, especially 80s horror. That's always been my favorite.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Those are fantastic. Not my favorite, but I'll put it in my top 10 for sure. 80s horror? Yeah,
so
for sure.
Do you guys ever have like a difference of opinion when you're talking about a movie on your show?
We've had a few differences of opinion.
We had a couple, man.
I don't know. What do you think was
memorable?
You want
to get in a couple? Hold on.
We could get another opinion of the raging debate that we've had.
You know what? Do you want to go into that or do you want to go into the Goodfellas Godfather debate that we've been having that I want to have on our show?
You know what? I mean, I'll do
both. We got
both.
Time, guys.
We'll do both. I'm going to start with... Honestly, Jim, here's the debate. Which movie is better when it comes to depicting realism in the mafia, the real Cosa Nostra, Godfather or Goodfellas? I say Goodfellas.
I say Godfather.
It's the truest depiction. And I can debunk why Godfather is not. Because the Columbo family actually said, this is not good. This is not real. They take this out. They made them take out things and add fabricated things in there. Now, the way those guys are acting is real. Those are actually how, I mean, Michael Franchise just said, those guys are really real. Those are what those bosses acted like. I'm not taking that from you, but it's not the real mafia.
I was actually saying, I didn't really think it was like, that was the debate. The debate was which one was better.
Oh, it's still Goodfellas, man.
It's Godfather.
It's still Goodfellas. It's on Godfather. Are you kidding?
Jim, weigh in on this.
Hold, Jim, what do you think? Which one do you think is better? Honestly, if you know.
Let's see, if I gotta think about what is movie that is.
Hey, what?
Bada bang!
That's amazing. Why do you do that so well?
That was way too good. That was the mutual opinion.
I'm gonna guess you like both. Mind. Hey.
Love it.
I just think Goodfellas is, I can't say it's shot better because Godfather's tonally perfect.
Godfather is perfect.
It is tonally perfect. When it comes to tonality, it is perfect. It is a perfect movie. There's not a missing beat in that movie. It's fantastic. I never said it wasn't. It's Goodfellas. It's just that the dynamic between Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro, and Joe Pesci is remarkable.
Dude, you want to talk about dynamic? Talk about the dynamic between Sonny Corleone, Michael Corleone. I mean, we're talking about James Caan, Pacino. Come on now.
I'm not taking it away. I just think that these three are more realistic and better. It's just that's just my opinion.
So this is pretty much how this goes sometimes. It's just a never-ending debate.
That's how it is.
Just to throw an opinion, you guys really are talking about two different eras of movie making too. You know, because what if The Godfather was made around the same time as Goodfellas? Your opinions might be a little bit different.
It's true. Probably a totally different movie.
I never thought about it like that. Yeah. I mean, 74?
74, I think.
74 is Godfather, and 1990, I know for sure, is Goodfellas.
So coming out of the 80s, I mean, they definitely would have tried to glitz it up a little bit.
And it's the man, when he was born, he had a camera. Martin Scorsese is an absolute visionary genius, dude. The man can set up a shot. And he can literally set up anything. Light it in any way and it would be perfect. The man is
incredible.
Scorsese
is fantastic. I love Scorsese.
He's incredible. That movie is filmed, I mean, in Goodfellas, the shot where Jimmy is contemplating killing Maury and they're zooming into him as he's lighting the cigarette and you can just tell there's murder glistening in his eyes.
Murder.
Yes, I'm serious. That's what I felt. That's incredible that he got that out of him. That's why I think Goodfellas is better. It just brings that.
I need to watch Godfather again.
I have. I love it. I love it.
And
it's great.
You said De Niro, right?
It really
De Niro was
is
in the second one.
Yeah. De Niro was in two, and he was awesome in two.
He was in two. That's right. It was just Al Pacino was in the first one.
He was in both of them. He was in all three.
Know,
in
all three, right. Fredo.
You broke my heart.
It's
you
incredible.
Broke my heart.
the acting, and it was confirmed by a mafia boss that this is 100% genuine. The Godfather, Don Corleone is almost perfect. Like, that is the boss, the epitome.
Well, they were based on
boss.
Real families. So.
Right. So, yeah, those guys were like that. They were that vicious and just vile, man. Those were not good dudes. Those were terrible human beings. But I'm fascinated by it, Jim. I don't know why.
We've always kind of both been fascinated by the. I'm not sure why either, but love those kind of movies. And
okay, I'll throw one at you. Do you guys each have a favorite movie and a worst movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Favorite movie of all time actually is always a toss up between three movies. It's between Forrest Gump, Goodfellas, and Signs. I really can't pick those three, but. I it's either those always fluctuate between number one. The worst movie ever made is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Period. It's the worst thing.
I don't know, man. We did an episode on Birdemic, and that was
Birdemic is better. I'm not kidding. And Tim Burton directed this thing, man. Like, you know how mad I was when I watched this movie? Like, he took a turd on my childhood. Worst movie ever made. I mean, that movie literally just annihilated my childhood because I loved Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Then I found out, Johnny Depp, Tim Burton, Goofy, you know, he's going to make it that Tim Burton-esque style. I went in and I literally lost brain cells. I'm like, this is the worst thing. It is worse than Birdemic. It is worse than The Room. It is on every level. I hate that movie. I despise it. I want it to burn.
I didn't care.
I hated it. Dude, it's terrible.
Right? For real? Tell us how you really feel.
Don't be afraid to hold back.
I hate it. What is yours? Jay, I actually don't know. What is your
least favorite movie
of all time? I never asked him that.
I don't know if I know.
20 years of friendship, I never asked that. What's your worst movie? I know your favorite movie is Godfather.
Yeah, I'd have to say like it's between Godfather and the Alien franchise.
Right. I figured it was one of those. But I don't know what your worst.
Dude, I don't even know what what the worst one is. I've never even thought of that.
Think.
All right, there's a really bad one by Troma. Jim, if you know about who Troma Entertainment is.
Yes,
I love most of those, but there's one that just I like it, but I don't like it's not a good movie. I like it because it's so bad. The Surf Nazis Must Die.
Surf Nazis.
What would tip you off if that would be a bad movie, James?
Right? Like, it's like, this seems like good cinematic use of my time. Like, I'm gonna go watch this. It's the film that Roger Ebert couldn't even sit through. He walked out of the theater.
Did he really?
Yeah, he really did.
He did. Wow.
So, yeah, gun to my head, I'm going to have to go with that one. But I also still like that movie because it's so weird. Artistically bad.
See, that's bad, though. Like, I mean, you have to pick a movie that they went in genuinely. Like, we're going to make this dope movie. This is going to be the best movie. We have a cast. Our catering is fire. Let's go. And they make this turd.
Dude, why are you
Charlie
so
and the Chocolate Factory?
Why are you so obsessed with the catering?
I don't know. I'm fat.
You're not, though. Like, you're the skinny one. You know that you're the skinny one, right?
But I still grew up fat.
Like, you're the David Spade to my Chris Farley.
That is so true. It's not even a joke, Jim. That is true. Oh, my God.
You never
How
thought
the
that before,
truism
did you?
Behind that, man? I mean, no joke. That the truism behind that statement is insane. My God, I never thought about it. We totally are. God, you threw me off guard. Where do we go with this? What did you ask me again?
I'm
serious. Threw me off guard.
Don't pick the wrong question.
A while back, I had a guest on, and he was actually what they call a script doctor.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, nice. Right.
And we were talking about the art of making movies, and we were talking about trailers. Mm-hmm. How do you know if a trailer indicates that it's really going to be a good movie, or they just made it look good and you're in for a stinker?
Right.
Oh, that's...
So I was telling him about this movie that I saw a couple of years ago. It was actually a while back. It was my wife's and I first date, and we chose this movie called The Family Stone.
I remember that one.
And it was Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay.
It was like the Christmas one, right?
Kind of
Christmassy.
Christmas-esque.
It was made to look like this cheery, funny holiday movie based on the trailer that we saw. And we both saw the same trailer. And it was probably one of the most depressing movies I've ever seen. The thing that you saw in the commercial happens like the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I've had that happen, man. I hate when that happens.
It's like if you watch Click, you're like, oh, cool, Adam Sandler. Let's have a nice evening of laughs. By the end of it, you're like, I got to call my dad.
Yeah, no, seriously, Click did that.
I got to call my dad.
Where's my phone?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, no, Click threw me off guard. I'm not the biggest fan of the movie. The movie's fine. And
I thought it was. And
it's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
No, that movie threw me off guard. I've had a couple that threw me off guard like that.
Wasn't expecting that.
But I want to, Jim asked the question about the trailers. There's a lot of movies that you watch the trailer, and it's happened to me. And Jay, I know it's happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
There's one particular one, and I'll bring it up because I know what they did. It is terrible that they did this to this person.
Which one?
You know I'm going to talk about Shyamalan. You know this, man. I know everything about him. He's even been screwed by trailers. He made his first three movies. The trailers were all made to be this dark, twisted world of M. Night Shyamalan. He makes dramas, guys. That's what the man makes. It's a drama with a little sprinkled in thriller horror. That's what I love about him. But when he finished filming The Village, Disney, which is the company that distributed this, was Touchstone, which is they are owned by Disney. Disney distributed this movie as a psychological thriller. It is a freaking romance drama sprinkled in with a little horror. Why would you? That's the problem. The studio will take it, so I can't even blame the artist, the people creating the product. It's the people that are distributing the product that are giving you this crap. So no, I don't really like trailers. I got to be honest with you. The last trailer, Jim, that I watched that threw me off guard, and it was actually, the movie was even better than the trailer, was The Quiet Place. I saw The Quiet Place trailer, and I lost my mind.
Was that the one with Jim from The Office in it?
Yes, and he directed it, dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He directed that movie, wrote it, and was the lead star.
Good for Jim.
Yeah.
Good for Jim.
So,
different Jim.
Different Jim, yeah.
I was thinking John Krasinski. Yeah, that's okay.
But no, that's a seriously. That's the one movie that the trailers ruin movies all the time. It ruined the I try to avoid them. Maybe I'll watch like a teaser, but I will not watch a full 2 minute trailer anymore because it's too much. I trust Shyamalan now because he does hide a lot of things in his trailers that he does you won't know in the movies. Like, have you seen Split? His last three movies was Split.
No, I know that's the one with the guy who's like a psycho and he's got multiple personalities.
Correct. Guy from X-Men, yes. Wasn't it, right?
Doesn't matter. That movie, he financed himself. So he made this trailer and it looks like it's a man that's going crazy. You don't even know that he has different personalities in the trailer. It's just, you know, that the man's going crazy. And I love that. When Shyamalan is involved in his movies alone without a big studio being involved, and that's fine. Studios ruin it all the time. So I just try to avoid trailers at all costs, actually. I haven't watched a trailer since the pandemic started. No movies have been coming out. So I'm like trying to avoid it. I'm really now, I have a reason to avoid the trailers for any movies that I want to watch.
I always like trailers myself, but.
I mean, they're fine if they're like a teaser. Don't show me one of those two and a half minute trailers.
It's like the ones from the 80s where it was like they showed you the entire movie.
Entire movie. It's like, no, stop it. Why? I know everything. Oh, this is where he loses the girl.
Right.
This is where he's going to gain her. Oh, they're good. Oh, at the end of the trailer, they're holding hands. They're going to get back together. Great. Ruined the whole damn movie for me. Awesome.
You actually brought up an interesting point being that we are recording in this time of pandemic.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about major motion pictures coming to your house instead of going to a movie theater? Does that ruin it for you, do you think? Or you think, yes, it's going to add a whole different
experience? It's
a different experience. I wouldn't say it completely ruins it because the one movie that came out like this year, the new Bill and Ted movie, I mean, it came out. I had been hoping to see it in theaters, but, you know, I had to see it at home. But it was still awesome. I mean, you know, the experience of not going to the movie theater is going to be a bummer. I really do hope that once all this is over that we get to go back to that because I do miss going to the theater. But it's going to be different. Yeah, I think motion picture studios are looking right now and they're seeing they can successfully release not in a theater system. So I think they're going to rethink their strategies after the pandemic's over.
I don't know. I don't like it, Jim. I'm not a fan of it. Movie theaters going to the movies is an experience.
It is. I'll give you that.
So I love my TV. I have almost 85 inch television at my house. It's great. I have surround sound. I love movies. This is where I watch my movies. But
it's not quite the same. You're right.
It's not. It's not. The popcorn doesn't taste the same. The sodas don't taste the same. It's not the same.
I want to watch the experience. And there's some movies you definitely do want to see on the big screen.
You have to. Most movies you should see on big screens. Yeah. Most movies should be seen on big screens.
And my dad told me to see the Star Wars movies when they re-released them with the, was it in like 99 or whatever?
Right.
They came back with all those and they did them all in theaters. And, you know, my dad took me to see all those and that was epic.
The remastered ones? Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem was with Greedo shooting first. That was stupid. But
yeah. Well, it happened,
I guess.
But
didn't happen.
No, I'm serious. If theaters disappeared, I would be very disappointed. I would be very upset. Like I said, it's an experience. Imagine it's an experience, dude. Imagine going to your house having to watch Dark Knight for the first time on your television.
I mean, yeah, dude.
I saw that thing in IMAX. Man, let me tell you something. That movie in IMAX is insane.
It's a huge difference.
My God. No.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they come back. I know the one by me is there's concern for that because they haven't been able to operate since March. So,
I mean, understandable, and it sucks.
It does. It really does. That's the problem. It's like, you know, no one's saying it doesn't suck. It does suck. It just, you know, it's a bummer. It is what it is.
And movies are still, I mean, they have plans. Like,
of course.
Movies are still going to come out. The theaters ain't going to go ever.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. They're going to figure it out in some way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, you know, and the one thing about good about watching movies at home, at least, that the Milk Duds don't cost $19.
So that's right. Ridiculous. The popcorn's a lot cheaper here. So yeah, that's absolutely true.
It's funny. Whenever I have this conversation with anybody, I always think of the shared experience with the audience.
Yeah.
Because there's certain movies that you've probably seen in a crowded theater, right. Like a Rocky movie where there's like the big fight and you hear everybody in the
right.
The audience is cheering,
it's an
or
you know, connect with everybody,
like Animal House, and then there exactly. People are just roaring laughs. Yes.
Exactly, it's an experience. That's why it'll never go away. It can't.
I hope you're right.
People go to it.
Maybe it'll evolve into something different.
It might,
or maybe the home experience will be something different.
That'd be nice. Yeah. That'd be nice if they had a home experience where it's. But it's just
they could bring drive-ins back.
That's a possibility. They have that now. There are some companies that are doing, like AMC, I think, is doing it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Where they're just having movies pull up and people watch new movies.
I mean, I like all that like kind of retro kind of stuff anyway. I think drive-ins are fun.
I mean, and we just watched like Borat 2 came out. I would have loved to see that movie in theaters. I was dying laughing.
We were way too into the first Borat when it was out.
Oh my God. I was way too.
Those guys.
We were those guys, Jim. We were those guys. It's nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. I like you. Do you like me? We were those guys.
We were.
Yes. Yeah. My wife actually said, if you did that back then, I would have never married you. I'm like, you serious? She's like, yes. Not kidding, man.
Are there any specific episodes of your show that really stand out in your mind?
So I've got there's kind of two at the moment. We've only got a few out at the moment. Well, depending on when this airs, might be more by then. But so the first episode we did was kind of the main blueprint for, you know, so we like to do different types of episodes. So like one week we're going to do like a top 10 list. So like, you know, for Halloween, we did Freddy Krueger's top 10 kills.
Right.
We had a great time with that. But the very first episode we did was called a spotlight episode. And what we did is basically like we took like a deep dive into a full genre. We did the zombie genre, and we went from its inception like back to the 30s and just like kind of tracked the whole timeline to current. And I want to do that with more. I want to do that with, you know, like actors, directors, more movie genres. But, you know, that's kind of one of the types of episodes we like to do. And that's one that I think that episode turned out fantastic.
It did. I did. The one that I really liked, no joke, is the Birdemic. It's because the way we did this particular episode is the episode title is How Did This Get Greenlit? So we take really bad movies that are like, we're going to do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to rewatch it. That will be on How Did This Get Greenlit? Because that movie is horrendous, dude. Horrendous. It literally bothers me just talking about it. Regardless.
So stop talking.
Keep going on a tangent about this movie. But yeah.
You want to see a really terrible
movie?
One? This was released in the 80s. It's called Give My Regards to Broad Street. It's with Paul McCartney.
Okay. Let me write this down.
Those are one of those, you walked out of the theater just shaking your head. Going, it's like, I'm not going to get that time in my life.
I wrote it down. I'm going to check that out.
Thanks. Calculating how much it costs you in like work hours, like how much time you lost.
Just breathing hours it costs.
Right?
I love that movie. So.
I could have been, you know, banging my head against the wall.
A better use of my time.
Right.
Yeah. I had toenails to cut, you know?
Now, I'll take any bad movie.
Well, sorry, Jim. I didn't know it was going to be a bad movie.
Oh man, yeah. So we do love the bad movies, man. Like the How Did This Get Greenlit? That's definitely one we're gonna have a lot of fun with. Like we basically just rip the movie to shreds and just
right,
yeah.
In a nutshell, is just we rip the movie apart. We break it down. What's the funniest part? Why did they make this? Why did they go this direction? Like we just break down the movie, and it's like reviewing it, but in our style.
Yeah,
and you that's really the what makes us different
is
our dynamic.
I would also say for like the real episodes, not the ones where we're just like joking around like that, but like, you know, spotlight episode or, you know, top 10 list, like we do put a lot of research effort into it as well. Like
we do.
The zombies.
Especially you, man.
Yeah, I do. I actually do the bulk of the research.
I mean, you go ham on this research.
I do. For the election episode. You ever see that movie Election with Reese Witherspoon?
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
We did an episode on that one to come out on election day. We figured everyone was kind of having a rough time that time. So we were like, let's just try to put a little bit of brightness out in the world. So that was our goal with that episode. I thought that was a good episode too, actually. But I went crazy on the research because it was based on a book. So I went out and I couldn't find a digital copy of the book. So I actually had to Amazon a paperback copy to myself to try to read the book before we did the episode. So I was like just that much further ahead on the research for the episode for it.
I mean, you went straight 1999.
That felt weird, man. I went straight Scholastic Book Fair.
You
on
did.
That
I mean, he goes ham, Jim. He really goes all out, and I got to give the man props. He knows, he does his research, and there's most things I do research as well. But there's a lot of things that I'm already familiar with like the numbers. That's why I chose that aspect of the filmmaking, because I nerded out. I've been looking at Box Office Mojo since I was, my God, 15 years old. I found Box Office Mojo and that was it. I memorized all those numbers, highest grossing movies. And that's how that's.
And then I go for the content and with our powers combined. Yes.
You get going Hollywood.
So for your own personal favorites, are there certain names that have to come up that you know, like the minute you hear it say, oh, this is going to be a good movie. Like if you hear it's going to be like a Harrison Ford movie or a Shyamalan movie, you know, like you were saying.
I'm going to say Keanu. I love Keanu.
But when it comes to director, there's definitely four that I am, if I ever see them doing anything, I immediately stop what I'm doing and I go to the movie theaters to watch it. M. Night Shyamalan, mm-hmm. obviously. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
James Cameron.
Definitely.
Martin Scorsese.
Yep.
Those four. And then you could sprinkle in Spielberg. And I really like Spielberg. And Ari Aster, actually. He's popped up on my list. He's only done two major movies. I don't know if he's done any shorts beforehand. But Jim, I don't know if you know who Ari Aster is. He's incredible. He did Hereditary and Midsommar. He just did those two here recently, and the man's incredible. I think he's no joke. I can't believe that he's doing these kind of thrillers, and they're great. You have to like those kind of thrillers, though. Mm-hmm. These dark, really, you have to really sit there and pay attention to every detail kind of thrillers. So if you like that, and Ari Aster's definitely in my top 10 now.
Being that you guys are podcasters extraordinaire, and this is a podcast about podcasts, I was curious as to what kind of podcast you guys like listening to.
I've got a couple favorites. So I originally started listening to podcasts. Do you ever heard Dan Cummins? Yeah. So sure. Yeah, that was, I knew about him through his comedy, and you know, I somewhere on Facebook or something, saw him push, you know, hey, check out Time Suck. And I checked it out and like, you know, I wasn't really into podcasts at the time, but then I checked it out. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And I just kind of got sucked into that. And then my sister is really big into podcasts. She got me into Last Podcast on the Left. That's a really good one. So I would say those two are my favorites for sure.
Yeah, you got me into those as well. See, I don't listen to movie podcasts because I do one on my own. believe it or not, I have listened to a couple, mm-hmm. like the Nightmare on Film Street. Those guys, I listen to them. They're pretty good. But I'm not really listening. What I listen to, honestly, is Packers podcasts. I listen to one called The Goat House, and they talk about NFL. I have nobody else to talk to football about. So I went and found two guys that talk about football. Just listen to their podcast. Yeah. It's great.
That's kind of how I'm like, no one really wants to talk true crime with me. So I just listen to weird conspiracy laden nonsense and love it.
There you go. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that. I listen to football and there you go. And I listen to a lot of political stuff, but
I try to avoid
I mostly that. Listen to the podcast for football.
You know, we have a portion of the show and we call it Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
And this is the part of the show where you guys can let everybody know how they can follow you and get in touch
all
with
right.
you.
So we're on all social media websites, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Please find us there. It's Goin' Hollywood. It's G-O-I-N Hollywood.
No G.
Find us on all of those. Also, if you are on TikTok and you want more content from us instead of the podcast, find us on TikTok as well. We do 60-second videos there. It's just different facts and movie, some random kind of movie news.
And a lot of memes and stuff on the Facebook and all that.
Right.
Yeah. Going Hollywood.
The main thing, the main focus on if you guys can, if you find us, we're on all podcast platforms. If you do enjoy our podcast, if you can leave a review, that is the main. It's vital for reviews for podcasts to get out there. So if you can, please, if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. If you're on Google Podcasts, leave us a review.
Guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the
show.
Thank
you. Yes,
sir. Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it.
All right, and their names are JD and the Ghost, and not their real names, of course. You know, I know about using being anonymous because, well, even though the podcast Sherpa is actually my last name. But
legally, of course.
Yeah, legally changed, of course. But I guess so people don't say, what do you mean you didn't like this movie? So it keeps you nice and anonymous.
Yeah, there's
right?
a lot of opinions in the cinephile community. So,
oh, yeah.
That's not the reason. I just. We've got controversial opinions and we don't need y'all coming for us.
Hey.
There you go. Personal exactly. safety.
Yes, sir.
JD Ghost. Guys, thanks so much for
thank
coming
you for
on
having us.
Hello there, Rebels. It's me, Jim the Podcast Sherpa, interrupting my own podcast to let you know about another podcast that I've worked on. It's a little mini-series, 5 episodes, called Too Many 80s Songs, and I didn't work on it alone. I got a lot of help with my buddy, Uncle Bruce. You know him better as Mr. Bruce, but it's Uncle Bruce and me, Jim the Podcast Sherpa, with the 5-part podcast called Too Many 80s Songs. And we talk about what else 80s songs. And it's just a lot of unscripted conversation, a lot of silliness, a little trivia, and a lot of music. So please check it out. New episodes debut Monday for 5 weeks through January and February. And you can hear all those songs exclusively on Spotify. That's the only place that's playing the Too Many 80s Songs show. Little hint. If you don't get to hear the songs in their entirety on Spotify, check my social media, Sherpalution, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for the link to all the songs that we included and some that we didn't. If you're a big fan of 80s music and you've got a special 80s request or dedication, send it to me. And if we get enough requests, we're going to come back and do a special request and dedication show. Hope you listen. Hope you enjoy it. So much. Viva La Sherpalution.
Be a rebel. Follow the show at Sherpalution on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
Today's Sherpa suggestions come from an article from RollingStone.com of the top podcasts of 2020. And there are some really interesting selections here. I don't think I've ever mentioned some of these, so they're definitely worth a mention now. We have Somebody, Chameleon, Hollywood Con Queen, Floodlines, Home Cooking, Staying In with Emily and Kumail, Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out, Motive, Season 3, Unspooled, Season 2, The New 100, Nice White Parents, Baraska, Rabbit Hole, Dead Eyes, Slow Burn, David Duke, Wind of Change, and finally, You Must Remember This, Polly Platt, The Invisible Woman. Polly Platt, by the way, was the ex-wife of director Peter Bogdanovich. Now, I know there was something I'm supposed to remember, but I don't know what it is. I could probably figure out if it weren't that burning smell in the background. Uh-oh. Thanks a lot to the Going Hollywood guys, JD and the Ghost, for coming on down and hanging out at the Sherpa Chalet. I had so much fun talking to them. Hey, what is your favorite gangster movie? Is it Goodfellas? Is it The Godfather? Me personally, I gotta go with Johnny Dangerously. Got a few things to tell you about before we show you the door. Have you checked out my new mini podcast? It debuted on January the 11th. It's called Too Many 80s Songs. Yeah, I know, original title, right? It's me and Mr. Bruce just being silly, playing some music and bringing up some trivia and goofy stories and so on and so forth. A lot of fun I had working with him. Please check the show out. It's on Spotify only. So if you subscribe to Spotify Premium, you can hear all of the songs that are included in those episodes. But fear not, if you're not a Spotify Premium subscriber, if you follow me on social media, Sherpalution, I give you a link to the playlists on my Spotify account where you can hear all the songs and a few extra ones that I've thrown in there. So I hope you enjoy it. We had a lot of fun putting it together. Coming up on Friday, I will be talking to a guy named Cody Langley, who has a YouTube channel called Popular Opinion, and we will be talking more about Funko Pops and the game show that he has on his channel called Wheel of Misfortune. Check it out on Friday. I will see you guys then. Viva la Sherpalution. Okay, Mr. Bruce, I think we can head on out, and if you don't mind showing everybody the door. Thank you, sir. And once again, Too Many 80 Songs. Check it out. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalution. Viva la Sherpalution. Yell, come back now, you hear?